Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for our Sustainable Singapore segment. I got a question for you, guessing game, okay? From the years 1990 to 2015, that's 25 years, can you guess the amount of carbon dioxide that increased in the global atmosphere?
How many percent? I can't put a figure on it, but 20, I'm sure 30, it's just a horrible amount.
60%.
60%?
60%.
Oh, gosh.
That's horrible, right? That really is horrible.
That is. I mean, that's more than half of an... Oh, goodness. Mm. Okay, so there's actually new research by Oxfam and the Stockholm Environment Institute, and it shows that the richest 10% of the global population were responsible for over half of these emissions.
What about the poor ones? Get this, the poorest 50% responsible for just 7% of emissions.
That is a massive disparity. Mm. Yet the world's poorest, who contributed least to the climate crisis, they're already experiencing the impact of a world that is 1 degree Celsius hotter through natural disasters and multiple severe weather events. We see this all the time in our headlines, don't we?
So let's get some local context, right? The average Singaporean generates, what, 9 tons of carbon emissions annually? And this information according to the website, what is my carbon footprint?
Actually, that's more than twice the world's average, and it's more than 4 times the target to maintain a sustainable footprint.
But at the same time, Singapore contributes to only 0.1% of global carbon emissions. Let's find out how, you know, we can tackle this. From our guest this morning, Siddharth Srinivas, who is Food and Climate Justice Lead, Asia Oxfam International. Siddharth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot.
Hey, thank you so much for waking up extra early. I know you're in Delhi right now. It's 5:45 a.m.?
Right. It's not a problem. Glad to join you.
You're a good sport, man. You're a good sport.
Yeah, very kind of you. So, come on, these figures, they are very alarming, but they're very necessary to share, aren't they? Why don't you walk us through, Siddharth, how, in a little bit more detail, how carbon consumption emissions are linked to economic inequality?
Sure. So the 25 years period from 1990 to 2015 is actually one of the most important in terms of human history, if you look at it. That's where we've seen a massive economic growth. The global GDP has doubled during this period. And at the same time, you know, we've also seen massive increase in emissions. So if you actually look at the total emissions since late 1800s to 1990, we've added the exact same amount of carbon into the atmosphere that was emitted between this period, 1990-2015 period. So in 25 years, we've basically added as much carbon into the atmosphere as the earlier period. And we've actually looked at human income as a strong aspect to correlate this against, and we basically found that it's very proportionate. There has been very minimal increase in the carbon emissions of the poorest 50%, for instance, which is just at around 7% of the total cumulative emissions, while the richest 1% and the richest 10% have, you know, the richest 10%, for instance, account for nearly 52% of the total cumulative emissions. This is actually building on an earlier study that Oxfam had done in 2015, and it also builds on research done by noted economists like Thomas Piketty, who had come out with a similar methodology of calculating and correlating income and carbon emissions in 2015.
That's quite scary. So I'm a kind of person that tends to look for red flags. So just to jump ahead and ask this question, what is the point of no return? I mean, apart from the obvious 100%, are we there yet? At the point of no return, is it fair to say that, wait a minute, it's too late to do something about it, or, you know, something can still be done? What are your thoughts on this?
So the latest IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, their report actually mentions that we have approximately 10 years to make sure that we don't consume the entire carbon budget. This is basically to ensure that we keep the global warming to less than 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2100. So 10 years is the time frame that they've given. Is there a point of no return? I think everyone should be worried at this point about the global emissions. It's something everyone has to contribute to at an individual level and collectively as a race, that we actually need to figure out how to actually address this within this short time frame. The Paris Agreement has actually put in an the ambition of 1.5 degrees Celsius. But if you look at the emissions that they've actually, most of the commitments that are there, they actually are aimed at 2 degrees or even slightly higher for most countries. So we still have some way to go.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Especially as a nation.
We certainly do. Siddharth, at that point, I want to come in then and say, let's put this report then that Oxfam and that you're talking about into context, because what poorer countries are saying is they're saying, look, we're not responsible for most of this. And they're saying to the richer nations, you are. So why are we being pushed to make such major changes? You have to pay for it. How important is a report like this in this context?
I think it's extremely important. I think the idea of common but differentiated responsibilities has been established for quite some time with all the climate negotiations and the COPs that have taken place. But I think it's also important that all countries, especially in the global south, recognize that they also need to really do a lot more to address this. For instance, for the Southeast Asia region, there's a 2017 Greenpeace report which mentions that there are 400 coal power plants which are currently either under construction or proposed. You could just imagine the kind of emissions that could come from 400 new coal power plants in the region. And while Singapore is a city state which is very self-reliant and where the footprint is actually low, the burgeoning growth of coal power plants could actually impact Singapore as much as any other nearby country. This includes air pollution, health implications, and so on. And of course, the global warming, rising water levels, all that is also a major factor. So I think it's for all of us to actually, every country, especially including in the global south, to actually make sure that they address it. Yes, the global north needs to do a lot more. Even right now, our data shows that the biggest emitters are actually in the global north. There you have countries in Europe and America who are actually emitting quite a lot. But at the same time, we also have national data for many countries, which basically shows that, yes, the richest in these countries are also emitting really high, and that needs to be addressed also from a consumption perspective.
But I remember, and I'm sure others, and Elliot, I'm sure you remember this. Do you remember the news reports? I guess it was about maybe 8 years ago or so, where we saw the big haze that hangs over a lot of Asia, mm-hmm. a lot of India, China. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about nations where huge changes, if they are implemented from the top, could make a massive difference to many who are still in poverty, many who are suffering from the weather systems, right? Have we not got to that point where it's irrelevant who is responsible for what? We all have to get on the same page.
Mm. Exactly. I mean, so if you look at the BRICS countries, for instance, India, China, they've actually done a lot on climate and the emissions in the past decade. So everyone is pulling their weight, at least in the global south. But of course, a lot more needs to happen. And that's basically how I see it.
Siddharth, I know COVID-19 has sort of helped in terms of just a little bit where the environment is concerned due to the various lockdowns and restrictions that we saw in many parts of the world. But honestly, should we be worried because of the economic impact of this pandemic and the restrictions? Now we see countries racing to get their economy back up again, to get it back to where it was, to have that fastest recovery. Should we be worried about this race to recovery?
I think the COVID lockdowns that have taken place across the world have had an impact. Yes, emissions have actually dipped in many countries across the world for the first time ever. But at the same time, the recovery process is actually something that scares a lot of people because, accelerating fossil fuel-driven growth is probably not the right solution. So I think it's important for every country to actually ensure that, they have a clean pathway that ensures minimal emissions and also maximizes growth and equitable growth. So I think the other aspect of the COVID-19 pandemic has been that, we've had a lot of people actually pushed into further poverty. And I think the report also tries to highlight that the consumption of power is also about, of energy is also about, equitable consumption. That, the poorer actually need to be able to consume a fair share.
Right.
And that is actually being impacted. So if you actually look at the World Food Program report, we've seen in South Asia alone, South and Southeast Asia, out of the 45 million people globally, 33 million are in this region, are in Asia. which is very surprising, considering many wouldn't expect it to be in Africa and other places, but it's actually in Asia. So people are being driven into poverty. I think it has massive implications. At the same time, yes, I think it's about equitable growth and also about equitable share of the total emissions.
So speaking about Asia and also equalising things, here in Singapore we have a carbon tax set at a rate of $5 per tonne of greenhouse gas emissions from 2019 to 2023. Should more countries be doing this then?
Definitely. I think a lot more countries should be progressively taxing on carbon emissions. And I think investing on transportation sector, because one of our findings is that, you know, 25% or the second biggest number of emissions are actually from the transportation sector after the power sector. So I think making sure Singapore is one country which has done a lot on urban transportation, which is working a lot more on green mobility. So I think these are aspects which countries need to prioritize. And of course, there are a whole range of other factors, but purely from a carbon dioxide emission, I think these are important steps that need to be taken.
According to the World Economic Forum, 67 countries have promised a net zero ambition, and companies like Microsoft have promised to be carbon negative. Interesting one about Microsoft. Carbon negative by the year 2030, remove historical carbon emissions by the year 2050. They even have a $1 billion climate innovation fund. This is a shining example. How many more companies, big companies like Microsoft, need to follow that step?
Pretty much all of them, to be honest. I think at this point, if we don't have the big companies actually investing and supporting a green transition, it's going to be really difficult for us. So if you look at big companies like Microsoft or Apple, they have emissions which are higher than maybe dozens of countries. So it's very important that all of them actually step up and work to address this issue. So actually, one thing I would like to mention is that, you know, for us, Singapore is also very important as a financial hub for the region. And I think it's very important that the Singapore government, the Singapore-based companies actually incentivize and promote green investments across the region, because there's so much of transnational flow which takes place from Singapore. So I think Singapore playing a leading role on that front would also additionally really help, especially with the private sector.
Well, I have to say, Siddharth, this research by Oxfam and the Stockholm Environment Institute has been quite a revelation. Have you seen any action, anything been put in motion as a result of the report coming out?
Well, it's exactly 1 month since we've launched the report. We've got a lot of acknowledgements of the report. We've had, including the UN and several countries, actually acknowledged the report. But I think, yes, I think it's a long road ahead. This is just addressing one aspect of it. On emissions, I think countries really need to collectively act on this. And I think the next COP, which is coming up, will actually be key for a lot, for all of humankind. So basically, to see how we address this issue. So at this point, yes, we've got a lot of acknowledgement, and we are hoping at least some specific countries, especially in Europe, would act more on this, the findings of the report in addressing inequality, and also in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, very quickly, remind us, when is that next COP meeting?
Yes, unfortunately, this year's COP has been pushed, and we're going to be having it in 2021. So that's 2021 in the UK. So that's December then, November, December next year.
That's right.
We've been speaking with Siddharth Srinivas, who is Food and Climate Justice Lead Asia Oxfam International. Siddharth, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.